When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Right then, here we are again. We've had sort of a day's play and we've had some matches, but we don't really know where we are right now, other than the fact that it's about 9 o'clock in the evening. Is that about right, Catherine?
9:35.
Okay, we've just finished the day's play here at the Queen's Club, home of the Fevertree Championships. And yes, there's been lots more rain. There's been lots of more on and off the court with covers flying all over the shop. And some matches have been played. However, we have the bumper order of play of all order of plays tomorrow to look forward to as a result. Where to start? Matt is here. Hello, Matt. Make some sense.
Hello, David.
Make some sense of day three for us.
So it's actually a more complicated day for everyone. Like today, when we've got play going on and off, rather than yesterday, which was just a total washout. We kind of knew where we were.
Yeah.
Today,
bring back the absolute rain.
Because you were saying interesting things about how your day is. You said to me it was one of the most hectic, difficult days you can remember in terms
today,
of having to get information out to all the right people, just because it was such a changing picture.
Yeah, and plus players were withdrawing, and one Martin Del Potro will come on to has withdrawn from the tournament, singles and doubles, because he's hurt his knee, and we didn't know when that was going to happen, and initially just withdrew from the doubles, and then the singles came through later on. All this stuff's happening, and you've got matches moving all over the place, suddenly a couple of the courts had got some moisture on the outskirts, so they couldn't be used, so they had to move to another court. Oh dear, it was a funny old day.
it was a funny day, and it was a hectic day, but at least there was actually some tennis today.
Yeah, there definitely was some tennis, and presenting it all on Prime Video was
in micro doses.
Yes, Catherine Whittaker here, who has been on air a long time in terms of total sort of hours spanned.
The ratio of hours on air to balls struck over the last 2 days is poor.
depending on your viewpoint. Catherine's had all sorts of guests. We'll get onto those in a minute. Concentrating on the play itself, who did we start with today? It was Del Potro, wasn't it?
Del Potro, Shapovalov.
Back when he was in the tournament. Both of them were in the tournament.
Yeah.
and that match, let's just talk about the tennis and forget the rain for 5 minutes. It was just a microcosm of where their careers are at, wasn't it? Because it was 7-5, 6-4 to Del Potro. There were some lovely points, and yet there was never a question in your mind that Shapovalov would win. He was always going to lose, it felt to me. He looked like a junior playing a senior.
Yeah, it looked like man against boy completely, and it was shot selection, I thought, that largely let Shapovalov down. I know, Matt, you clocked that his ball toss was all over the place right from the get-go. That's usually, especially if it's not necessarily, I don't think, as far as I can remember, he hasn't always had issues with the ball toss, which suggests that it's a mental thing to me.
His serve generally is a bit of an issue. He's had a lot of double faults. But today, yeah, the ball toss was going way over his sort of wrong shoulder. He's kind of having to sort of dislocate his shoulder almost to actually get a racket on it. And he caught quite a few of them, but he tried to hit some of them and it wasn't working at all. And he was hitting a lot of the highlight reel shots. Mm. You know, you saw a shot, oh, that was a good shot from Shapovalov. But there was absolutely no sort of game plan of how he was trying to win that match, whereas Del Potro was playing at a much more consistently high level. Shapovalov is all coming in bursts.
He was doing all the running.
Yeah.
Del Potro was just sort of moving the ball around.
Do you remember when we chatted to Danny Valvadu a couple of years ago at the Australian Open when he was working with Grigor Dimitrov, and he talked really convincingly about patterns of play, about meat and potatoes, yeah, ways to win points, where you don't have to think about what shot you're going to select because it's just instinct. This is my bread and butter way to win this point. You know, serve, forehand, whatever it is, that those go-to, deeply ingrained, instinctive patterns of play, I feel like that is what Denis Shapovalov needs. Mm. He's making too many decisions out there, and his decisions aren't the right ones.
Mm. And the mind goes back to Mary Carrillo's magnificent description that you,
non-award winning,
if you've got to have good footwork to hit a good serve,
yeah,
then you've got a problem. So it just always felt like that was going to be the end result, and yet Del Potro injured his knee late on again, or re-aggravated the same problem. And I mean, you know, these are, maybe I'm biased, but I think they're the best grass courts in the world. They are so true, so perfect, so beautifully manicured. But when they are brand new, and especially in conditions like we've had where there's a bit of moisture around, it is impossible for them not to be a little bit slippery. And footing was difficult to find at times for the players, and Del Potro's re-aggravated his knee.
Somebody on Twitter today suggested an alternate universe in which there's a super event of the Queen's grass courts and their quality and everything you just described, but with the Haller roof. That's
the dream.
Tennis, yes, utopia.
For all of you out there who are thinking, yeah, David Lord, why don't you get a roof? Well, the thing is, this is a tennis club, 11 months of the year, and the whole tournament that you see, all the stands, they are built from scratch 6 weeks before the tournament starts. You can't put a roof on it. You just can't. It's not possible.
It would be floating in thin air for 11 months of the year.
That's right. And it's just not doable.
And as you pointed out yesterday, it is rare that we get these huge washouts. Mm. I mean, the last 2 years, I'm not even sure, has there been a minute affected by play?
Do you remember last year when we had that heatwave summer and England reached the Men's World Cup semi-final? Like, was that real?
Did that
was
happen?
That some sort of strange hallucinatory experience or dream?
Those are the days.
What was that?
Also, I bet we were complaining that it was too hot as well.
I was.
I know I was, yeah.
It was too hot. Oh, thank goodness it's like this. So that happened. And then we got another match on court, and that was Dan Evans against Stan Wawrinka. And Stan Wawrinka came out creaming the ball. Oh, my word, did he play well.
I loved the way I got a sense of the fact that he might do that from the way he did his little jiggery run from the chair to the back of the court.
It was Nadal-esque, wasn't it?
After time was called.
And He's up for it this week.
He did it upon the resumption as well, when they had about a three-hour delay and then came back out. And there he is doing that Nadal-esque little, what is it, a sort of explosive little bit of footwork to the back of the net, and I thought, oh, hang on.
It was the anti-diesel today, wasn't it? He didn't take time to get going, he was just on it straight away.
Somebody gave him a turbocharge injection.
It's the scones.
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 No, we've done this, David, it's scones.
Right. Seriously, though, let's be honest amongst the three of us. There's only three of us here, nobody's listening to this. Who did you pick to win that match before it started?
Dan Evans.
Greg Rozetsky picked Dan Evans. Daniela Hantikova picked Dan Evans.
Yeah. On a 10-match winning streak, and I thought the day off yesterday would kind of help him to get over the heavy lifting he had to do in Nottingham last week.
And I would have said the same. Mm. And I do find it quite interesting. Last night, Mike Dixon from the Daily Mail came in our tournament office, and we were just talking about it, and I don't know how we got onto it. I just said, you know, Evans, he's in good nick. He's got a chance at this, hasn't he? And I could just see this cynicism in Mike's eyes. Not that he doesn't rate
cynicism.
Dan
Evans.
Yeah. Not that he doesn't rate Dan Evans incredibly highly, but I think he made the point that Stan Wawrinka is a world-class player, and it's so easy to overlook the natural pedigree of these people, what they have inside and what they've done, and if they're on it, they're going to win, you know?
And it's a bit like what everyone was saying about kind of Federer with clay. Like, when he came back to clay, everyone was like, oh, how's he going to do? It's clay. I mean, he has played on clay before. It's not like it's completely alien to him. And Wawrinka, yes, grass is his worst surface, but he has reached two Wimbledon quarterfinals, I think, 2014, 2015. It's just the last couple of years, maybe when he's not had the fitness, that his grass court form has kind of nosedived and he's barely won a match on it. But he can play on grass, it just doesn't suit his game.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when we were asked the question, it might even have been one of our listener question editions, who was more likely to complete the career Grand Slam, Andy Murray or Stan Wawrinka?
Yes, I do remember. What did we say?
I said Andy Murray because I remember my reasoning was I cannot see him not winning an Australian Open title. Five finals at the time. I mean, still five finals.
Could happen.
And
despite emotional tribute.
I took it down to what's more likely to happen. Wawrinka wins Wimbledon or Andy Murray wins the French Open. I can't quite remember if this was before or after Murray's run to the final at the French. I think after. And I decided Murray winning the French was more likely.
What did I say?
I would like to revise that view now. I'm not saying Wawrinka's going to win Wimbledon. I'm saying
one win
it's
over
more
Dan Evans.
Likely.
All you need to do is beat Dan Evans.
A win over Dan Evans in a metal hit
you're in,
later.
Suddenly you're in the mix.
Is he in the mix to win Wimbledon?
Stan Wawrinka?
Yeah.
He's in the mix to win this tournament.
I don't think
he's in the mix to win Wimbledon. No.
Not even in the mix? Three-time Grand Slam champion?
No, I'd need to see more.
Do you know, I think it's about time, and we might put a bit of thought into this post-pod, but I do feel
defining
as though...
the mix.
Well, we've done the definition, right? In terms of they actually have to have a chance of winning the tournament. But I kind of feel like we need a numerical measurement of the mix as well. There has to be a pool of a number of players.
Because what I mean, at the French Open, there were, what did we decide, 20 names in the women's draw in the mix?
So you came up with it. Now we have to come up with a grass court version.
Oh, so it varies
from tournament to tournament.
You can't just sort of keep expanding the mix and chucking new ingredients in.
Okay, well, before Wimbledon, we'll decide on the mix and we'll let you know how many people are in it.
I'm not having one of your cakes, if that's how you bake.
I'm speechless.
I'm just saying. My cakes have to have a certain number of... Anyway, where have we got to?
We're back to scones again.
To quote Annabelle Croft, Stan Wawrinka's tennis was hefty today, wasn't it? Hefty. It's our word of the day, isn't
it?
If
you haven't seen Annabelle Croft's one take, 3.5-minute tour of the player lounge that she did... yesterday during the rain delay when it was heavily populated down there, and she did it for Prime Video, and the tournament have retweeted it as well. It is glorious.
It's so good fun. It's so good fun. She was brilliant.
She's all the food's great here. They do these great cakes and flapjacks. I had that one yesterday. It was a bit hefty.
She was brilliant. Oh, I love Annabelle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. So, right, Stan Wawrinka in the mix. And there's
no,
one
For the tournament.
Let's stick to that. Facts. Is there a factual mix? Okay, there is. So he's through to the next round, and then the heavens opened. Actually, they opened in sort of midway through the second set, and we had a monumental fill for Catherine on Prime Video. We had... I'll tell you what I didn't know had happened in an hour and 6 minutes is that Milos Raonic has somehow managed to win on another court.
Yeah.
And somebody came up to me and said, oh, that was quick for Milos, wasn't it? And I'm like, has he actually gone on the court? I genuinely didn't even know he was on the court.
What? Yeah, I like that he just knuckled down and got on with business there, literally without any of us noticing.
Well, my colleague and our podcast friend Andrew said after that match, Milos Raonic is winning the tournament. He just came out with it.
Wow.
Because his reasoning is Bedene and then Lopez to reach the semi-finals.
Hold on, Lopez is a good player.
He's 48 years old, David.
Give or take 10 years.
He's got other irons in the fire.
Yeah,
he's got doubles. He's got doubles to deal with as
doubles
well.
Doubles partner of Andy Murray. Yeah.
So Raonic's just...
He's only 38 years old, yeah. 37.
Raonic's just brushed the side, Cecchinato.
Yeah, played really well.
But although we were running yesterday during the monumental fill, we were running the 2016 final between Andy Murray and Milos Raonic, which was peak Raonic. When he had John McEnroe in his corner, and he just looked like a different guy.
Mm.
He did look like a different guy. I'm not saying Andrew's wrong.
But he's wrong.
And he could be on to something. I mean, I thought maybe Adrian Mannarino was winning the tournament, and he's fallen by the wayside.
Yeah. So
without stepping out onto court.
Incidentally, should just add that intern Andrew, which is my my catchy name, for Andrew Bridges, who's part of our tennis podcast team, is here with us at Queen's. And yes, I think he knows his stuff. But Milos Raonic,
he's into dodgy predictions, so he's one of us.
It's right in.
He's more than welcome. You mentioned Feliciano Lopez, who came back from a set down to win through in three. Now, you may have read some media reports about Lopez in the last 24 hours, and his name has been mentioned in regard to some allegations to do with the integrity of the sport, and he has since released a statement, and I will just read it to you. It says, following reports in the media that mentioned my name and my partner's, Mark Lopez, I feel it is extremely important to come to you and absolutely deny any link with the events described in relation to the allegations of match fixing. Unfortunately, all tennis players are public figures, and we are exposed to having our good name used beyond our control. For that reason, I will do everything within my power to defend myself against any such false accusations. Mark and I had immediately contacted the Tennis Integrity Unit to fully cooperate, and they have confirmed that there had been no investigation about the match at Wimbledon in 2017. What actually happened, just to fill you in there, he won the title here at Queen's in the singles, went to Wimbledon and actually had to retire in the fourth set in his singles match with a foot problem. He ended up playing the next day or a couple of days later in the doubles and lost in four sets, and that's the match that they're referring to. He says, "We have full faith in the Tennis Integrity Unit and the role they play protecting our sport. I've always believed in the values of fair play. It has been the case during my long career, and I stand for the integrity of the game, which is so important. I'm now focused on giving my best as always and will play with 100% focus at Queen's. For now, these are the only comments I wish to make on the matter." So it's been a pretty, I think, trying period of time for Feliciano Lopez, and that's his situation. We thought we'd bring you up to date on that. And he will now play with Andy Murray tomorrow in the doubles, eventually, as long as we get good weather.
19 degrees and intermittent sunshine. That's the forecast.
Fine.
Any rain?
No.
No rain?
No.
You guarantee
it? Not for the next 4 days.
Catherine, I've suddenly grown to like you. What a fantastic weather forecast. Not suddenly.
It's basically last summer all over again.
Just
now.
A bit more than before. What else has happened today? What was the next match we had on court?
Tsitsipas Edmund.
Oh, yeah.
Which is to be finished.
How good was the ovation that Tsitsipas received from the crowd here, who've never seen him before, you know, at Queen's Club at least. And he was given a really rapturous reception. He just connects people, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think all of that crowd were thinking, this is something that I'll be recounting, remembering in 5 to 10 years' time, saying, oh, I saw Tsitsipas when he played his first ever Queens. I really think that, I believe that will be the case, and I think that was on some level on the most of the crowd's mind. You know, we're seeing something that's very soon going to be very special.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I was standing watching his match. Who was I standing with? I can't remember who it was.
Name drop alert.
Annabelle Croft, that was it.
We've already dropped her name.
I'm not trying to drop names. I'm just trying to be factual. We're standing next to a TV screen in the play lounge after I decided against one of those flapjacks, and I just said, he's just got everything, isn't he? There's nothing he hasn't got in terms of charisma and just balance. And you know, we were talking about footwork yesterday, and he looks like he could just skate around that court.
And the contrast with Kyle Edmund was so stark, wasn't it? Because Tsitsipas walks onto court and you can't take your eyes off him. He's a completely absorbing. He just dominates and imposes himself on whatever space he's in. And Kyle at the moment is the absolute opposite, I think. And I know that was something that Freddie Rosengran, his coach that he split with earlier this year, at the back end of last year, really specifically tried to work on with him when they first started working together, him trying to be a more imposing presence on the court and to exude more positivity and more domination of a tennis court.
And
you know, he is the personality that he is, and you don't want him to be acting, but he definitely made some strides with him in that regard, and it does feel like he's regressed. You know, I think Annabelle said, you're barely noticing that Kyle's there. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't playing horribly, but that match was so all about Tsitsipas.
Yeah, 18 months ago, Kyle Edmund looked like a bigger human being, didn't he?
He looked like he enjoyed tennis. I didn't see a huge amount of joy from Kyle Edmund today. I know the circumstances were extremely difficult and trying. You know, for a lot of that second set, the court was being enveloped in the moodiest, most threatening looking clouds. It was like Mordor descending on West London. And, you know, even the most mentally focused athletes in the world would be a little bit distracted by that. But it's not just here, it's not just today. You know, you felt it at the French Open throughout the clay court season. He's having a tough time, and he's, I get the feeling that he's struggling to enjoy his tennis at the moment, and that makes me sad.
Well, we've heard a lot from Andy Murray over the last 2 years about what it's like trying to play when you're just in pain all the time. Now, I have no idea what sort of pain Kyle Edmund might or might not be in, but he's definitely managing a knee problem. So that must just weigh on you, I would think. Don't you think?
For sure. And, yeah, he doesn't have that presence on court. And I think what you're saying about kind of you can't act it, can't fake it, is interesting. But, I mean, can you? I think you have to... You have to show something.
He needs a Hemman fist pump, doesn't he?
Yeah, or the Kevin Anderson thing about committing all the time, you know? It's like, you have to show something if you're not able to produce it yourself physically. You've got to make your opponent at least think that
you're... Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
See, with me, I would say that he does it just by notching up a win or two. I feel he's that sort of player. He needs one win to build.
I thought that in Paris, though, when he got that win over Shardy over 2 days at the French Open.
But then didn't
I really
his knee,
thought, he, his, to his, quote Grigor Dimitrov, that was the start of something.
But his knee started playing him up, didn't it? I mean, I
yeah,
just feel
but
like...
No more so than it had done against Shardy, as far as I can tell.
I feel like we've seen the trend we've seen over the course of his... career, 3 or 4 years, is that he has a dip and he has a setback, and then he just gradually builds because he's a worker. You know, he's somebody who keeps punching the clock and he'll keep turning up for work every day and try to build back up. And eventually, when he's built enough, his confidence starts coming into play, and then it's almost like a sort of moment of realization. Do you know what? I'm actually a really good tennis player, and you're going to know about it, mate.
Yeah, but what you're describing there is not faking it till you make it. It's just
making it.
Well, I
don't think you can. I don't think that's in him, really.
It's not him, but...
But why try and be what you're not?
We're not saying that. We're just...
I just think you need to give... I mean, if his knee injury is so bad, why is he playing on it?
I don't know. I don't know how bad it is, really. That's the other thing. We don't really know. So anyway,
I mean, we should say he hasn't lost.
What's the score?
He's still in the match.
He's still in the
tournament. 3-30 in the second set.
And he has played. He did play better in the second set. I think he had a couple of break points. He had chances.
And Tsitsipas was just starting to look a bit stressed.
I'm quite looking forward to watching some tennis. That's not going to happen, but I'd be quite interested to see some.
The bit I did see about with Tsitsipas, to contrast with Shapovalov, he has patterns of play, definitely. Like, there's something, I think, Federer-esque about the way he hits a serve out wide and moves up to the forehand really quickly and just sort of swooshes it away to the other side. He does it so often and so effectively, and it's so simple, but it works.
There's intent with every shot, isn't there?
Yeah.
He's gonna hurt you in some way or set you up to hurt you, like a jab that will follow with a right hook.
Exactly.
Catherine's
less impressed with that analogy.
What?
Just find boxing a bit gruesome.
Well, it is, but, you know, it's a sort of... Tennis is a non-violent boxing, really.
Yeah, which is why it's better.
Well, I agree it's better. That's why we're doing the tennis podcast. That's why I've quit from the boxing podcast without doing an episode. Come to this one instead. So, what else is going on? We didn't have any more tennis. Then the heavens open, and people just scarpered.
There were results. Luca Puy won
against Jay Clark.
Who
played well for a set?
Aliash Bednay beat Alex de Minaur in 3 sets and celebrated like he'd won Wimbledon.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he do?
He was delighted.
Was he?
Yeah, Lopez won. We talked about that.
Yeah.
The fact that he now played... Well, no, he would have played Del Potro, so Lopez is through to the quarterfinals.
We can do a quick order of play in a minute. We've got, what, 4 minutes left?
It was one of those days where some people didn't even win a round and Lopez won too.
That's right. So what happened in other tournaments? I don't even know if they had play.
You know how we were saying Ostapenko beating Swiatek was a big win?
Start of something.
It was the start of something. because she's beaten Jo Konta today, 3-4 in Birmingham.
Isn't that quite nice to think that you can put this player like Ostapenko into the mix and she can just sort of make it splash out over the edges because she's
doing an Ostapenko.
You know.
Yeah.
Petra Martic beat Margarita Gasparian up there. Strzitzova beat Su Weishei.
Doubles partners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Pliskova play her sister?
Yeah, Kay Pliskova beat Kay Pliskova.
Yeah, which I'm genuinely staring at this trying to establish who won. I believe Christina, the lesser-ranked
Christina
Pliskova.
Won.
Did she?
I think it was like 9-7 in the tiebreak or something like that.
There's a lovely little gif of them doing their photo at the net and not being able to keep a straight face about it all. Have they ever met before on tour? Because
no,
I can't remember it having happened.
It was the first ever meeting between twins on the WTA tour, I believe.
And I mean, they found it as hilarious as everyone.
And they prepared for it last night by going to Nando's together.
Oh.
I wouldn't mind going to Nando's.
Can now?
Should we go now?
I wouldn't mind. Anyway.
Chong Wong beat Lauren Davis. Venus Williams beat Sasnovic. Ash Barty beat Donna Vekic. How was that a first round?
I love how sort of unaffected Barty seems to have been by winning the French Open. It's
just, I won a Grand Slam, but you know,
just cruise into the grass.
Catherine's looking a bit put out because she does the impression.
Because you did a low quality impersonation.
Come on, let's hear yours.
No, I'm not performing monkey today.
Well, you say that.
Sevastova beat Tomljanovic. Anastasia Sevastova has been in the final of every single Mallorca Open.
Really?
Yes.
That's a fantastic stat. How did you not know this?
I didn't know that, no.
This is such...
That is superb.
I feel such a sense of satisfaction having got that reaction from you, Matt.
How many have they had?
I mean, I've stolen that from somebody on Twitter who I can't even remember to credit. How a poll.
Is this Mallorca Open number two?
I think
two?
There's only been 3 or 4.
I'm looking this up.
Until I've read out all these scores. Sophia Kenin beat Ons Jabeur. Jabeur actually retired in that one in the second set. Elise Mertens beat Sam Stosur 2 sets. And Yefan Wang beat Alison van Oytvank.
That's like, was it Victor Estrella Burgos who was the absolute king of... Was it?
He'd only ever won a match in Peru or something.
It was like a high altitude. Like, was it La Paz or something?
Yeah.
He won it like 2 or 3 times in a row, and
yes,
was undefeated at the start
undefeated
of the tournament.
Undefeated at altitude above 1,500 metres.
Yeah. Yevgeny Kafelnikov won Moscow about 6 times in a row. It's quite a good player, though.
In Halle, you've got until I've read the
It's not going very
Halle
well, my search.
Results.
I can't seem to...
What have you searched?
I'm struggling to spell Mallorca.
This is what happens to David at the FIBA 2 Championships. Borna Coric defeated João Sousa in a deciding set tiebreak.
Yeah, 3 hours that one. The match point was like 30 shots long.
He's becoming a bit of a marathon man, Borna Coric.
And of course,
he?
He's defending the title there because he beat Federer in the final last year.
Pierre-Hugues Herbert beat Sergei Stakhovsky. See you, Sergei. Karen Khachanov beat Jan Lennard Struff in 3 sets.
That's a good match.
Good match, yeah, really good match. And David Goffin beat Radu Albot. Where is Federer?
He played yesterday.
Yeah,
he gets
tomorrow.
A day off. He's got his feet up.
He's got Songa next.
He's smoking a cigar. So, remember when Songa beat him from 2 sets to love down at Wimbledon?
I do.
Vividly.
Wow. I didn't see that because I was on another court with 5 Live commentary for something else. Anyway, do you want my Sevastova or Sevastova research?
Yes, please.
Right, okay. She's been in 3 finals to date, 2016. She lost to Caroline Garcia in the final. In 2017, she won, beating Yulia Gogas in 3 sets. And then in 2018, she lost to Tatiana Maria. So she's on to win it this year.
Yeah. And I think 2016 was the first year, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 3 out of 3.
Nailed it.
Wow.
Blimey, that Catherine. Stat cat.
Not having that.
Well, I'm in trouble now, everybody. So, we've been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with the Telegraph. Look at the look in her eyes. Oh, I'm in such trouble. Brought to you in association with the Telegraph. Executive produced with Rio with a Y. I have had one beer. Just one. You know, but this is what happens. And have I done all the plugs that I'm supposed to do? It's about
I met the folks at tennisballs.com today.
Did you? Oh, yeah, them. Right. So we'll be back with another one. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.